Okay, we left off on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph at the top of the page, two lines from the top of the page at the two dots. Tan Rabbanan, Gva'o B'chovo. So the Mishnah that we just learned yesterday spoke about the halacha that if a person sells an Eved to a guy, or he sells an Eved to Chutz La'aretz, so the Eved automatically is Yotze Ben Chorin. We had a discussion whether you have to write a Shtar Shichur, but the Eved goes free when you sell him to a guy. So the Gemara is going to discuss different situations where the Eved ends up in the hands of a guy, but it wasn't necessarily a direct sale that the Jew sold him to a guy. So Tan Rabbanan says the Braisa, Gva'u B'chovo. Let's say the guy took the Eved as a collection of his chov. You owed a guy money, you never made the Eved a mashko, like we spoke about yesterday, you just owed the guy money, and the guy went and he forcefully took the Eved as payment for the Chov. O shalachu sikrikon, or another case, the sikrikon took him. What does that mean? Says Rashi, b'shashi yishol mufkarin lahariga, va'amal ovid chavim, sa karkazu, o eved zeh, v'hanichemi, meaning this was a time where Jews were being persecuted, and Jews would be killed randomly, so the Jew trying to save his life says, here, take this eved, take this karka. He bribes the official, and he says, take this, and leave me alone. So he gives the eved, simply to save his life, because they were gonna abuse him, they were gonna kill him. So if in either of these cases, lo yatzel lecherus, that's not called selling an eved to a guy. In that situation, the eved will not go lecherus. Frak the Gemara ubechov lo, when the guy forcefully collects his chov, do you mean to say that's not considered a sale, and therefore he's not gonna go to cherus? We're about to show that in a brisa, it seems that even if the guy forcefully takes it, that is considered to be like a sale. Uriminhi, Hare Sha'ansu Beis HaMelech Gorno, if the Beis HaMelech comes and is ma'anes him and forcefully takes his gor and they take his produce, im bechovo chayiv la'aser. If they're collecting it as a chov, meaning you owe them money, you have a tax bill that you haven't paid, and they come and they collect from things that you didn't plan on giving them, but they confiscate your produce in order to collect the payment that they're properly owed. So then you have to take maestros on the stuff that you gave them. Imba anparos pater mila aser. But if it's pure loss, they're just taking it because they want it, but not that you owe it, then you're not going to have to give maaser from it. But what do you see? Anything that you're selling, you should have to give maaser from. So we see that when the guy collects it as his chov, even though he's doing it forcefully, that has the din of a sale. So in our case as well, when the guy takes the eved as a chov, even though he's doing it forcefully, it should have the din of a sale. The Achronim discuss if once the guy collected it, how it could be that you could take meiser from it? After all, it's eino bereshuso. And generally, the only time you ever had to take meiser for something that's eino bereshuso is if you're doing zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav. You're doing it mitam zechia, which works midin shlichus, meaning you're serving as the person's shliach to take the meiser for him. But over here, the guy doesn't have shlichus, nor is the guy chayiv take the meisers. You're chayiv take the meisers on something that's eino bereshuso. So I saw in the Biurei Adaf, he quotes from the Imre Bina, that what it means that chayv la'aser means before you give it to the guy. He says, I'm going to confiscate your produce, so you take maestros first and then give him then let him take whatever produce he needs. But certainly you do have to take that maestro while it's in your hands. Chaznish says otherwise. Chaznish says, no, it's not that you take he's not going to give you time to take maestro from the produce before you give it to him. He wants to collect your produce. Chaznish says, no, the pshat is that he's going to that you give him the produce, but you have to realize you just essentially stole money from the Kohen and from the Levi, because they no longer have the ability to take their truma and their meiser rishon that they're in fact owed, so you have to reimburse them for what you cost them. Anyway, but the question of the Gemara is, how can we say that if the guy forcibly collects it with his chov, for his chov, collects your eved for his chov, it's not called the sale, and the eved doesn't call the cherus? We see when he forcibly collects your produce for his chov, it is called the sale. So it says Gemara, shiny hasam to come mishtar shilei. No, it's different over there by maestros, because mishtar shilei. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, hare nehene mehem shoporei achovo. You're getting hana'a from the fact that he took your produce because you owed him that money, and he's taking it as your chov. Hilchach linyan isur chayiv b'meiser. So, meaning, if he's taking $100 worth of produce, and you owed him $100, so you're certainly getting hana from the fact that he's taking all of it, that including what you would have given to meiser, and what you would have given to truma. So you're really gaining from the fact that he took it. Had he not taken it, of those $100, you would have given $2 to Truma, another $10 to Meiser, and you still would have owed $100. So you would have been out another $12. So you actually get Hana'a from the fact that he took this from you before you had a chance to take Truma Meiser. So that's why we're going to make a Knas that you have to take the Truma Meiser. You shouldn't be Nehne from the fact, you shouldn't gain money from the fact that he took it away from you. By Eved, it's not so though. By Eved, the whole Knas is because you're not allowed to sell to a guy. And you didn't willingly sell this to the guy. He collected it against your will. So why should there be any knas over here? It's not like you gained anything from him confiscating your eved. If it's not the eved, it would have been something else, and it would have been an equal amount of money that you would have had to pay from somewhere else. So you didn't gain anything, and therefore this can't fit into the general knas of someone who sells his eved, who is automatically, the eved has to go lecherus. Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya. Da'amarav hamocher avdo leparheng. If someone sells his eved to a parheng, what's that? Says Rashi, matzik v'sam alilos umachru lo b'dmeyan peruso she'alilav. Basically, there are these people that come up with false tainas on you. They make up claims that you owe them money, and you have to pay them off so that they shouldn't persecute you to get your money out of you. So you sell your eved to this guy, leparheng ovik chavim yatzel cherus. He goes free. So don't you see, even though it's bal karcho, even though you're not interested in selling the eved to this guy, you're only doing it because he's driving you crazy and he's making up all these false tainas against you, still yotzi l'cherus. So says Gemara, no, hasam havle l'fayis v'lo p'yes. That's considered willingly selling the eved, because there are ways to get the guy off your back without giving him your eved. He doesn't care if you give him an eved or you give him something else. So you could have given him something else in exchange and not given him the eved by the fact that you choose to give him the eved. That's why he's Yotze L'cheres. That's why it's like you're selling the eved itself. Gufa. So we have similarly, we learned, Har Amar Rava Mochra Avdo L'Paring Ovid Kochav Yotze L'cheres. My Havale L'meved. Why does he go free? What should you have done? Why is that called that you willingly sold the eved? Well, Havale L'fayis V'lo P'yes. You should have been Mephayis with something else. You should have given him something else, and you didn't. So from the fact that you didn't, that's we consider it as if you willingly sold the eved in that case. Now, the Tosos, the way we translated Mochar Avdo L'Paring is the way Rashi understands it. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that word correctly, but we translate it the way Rashi understands it. That the art's called, am I pronouncing it correctly? Farhang. Okay, so I don't know how they know, but Farhang. So the Rashi says Pirush Bekunchus Matzik V'Sam Alilus U'Machrolo Vosendam Shehelio. So first Tosuk quotes Rashi, but he says Rashi's pshat is very difficult to fit into the Gemara. That the case is a guy makes up false tainas in you and wants money from you because he claims that you owe him stuff that you don't owe him. So it says, first of all, v'kasha d'lo shayach al zeloshin mechira. How can you call that a sale at all? V'lishna sheyeh lo l'fayis v'lo p'yeh lo mashma hachi. And also the idea that you should have been mefayis him, but you didn't. You could have settled him down with something else, but you didn't. Also doesn't imply that the guy is making up just totally false accusations against you and you're paying him off. Also, the Gemara in the next line is going to compare this in some ways to selling an Eved for 30 days. I mean, for a Matan al Manasa Hachsir for 30 days. And in what way is that similar? So says Tosos that we're misunderstanding the whole concept over here. Vinira da hafarang notel avdo al karcho. The case is the guy is taking the eved. He's going after the eved, but he's not an unreasonable guy. He's not going to steal your evet from you. He'll pay you. He's forcing you to sell it, but he'll pay you for your evet. So now you understand why that's a lot more like a mechira, because he's actually paying you for the evet. So lekach parich da mayatzal lecheres kiven davi bal karcho. So the Gemara asks, why should he go free in that case? You're not willingly selling the evet. This guy targeted your evet as something that he wants, and he's going to force you to sell it to him. So Mishani, the Gemara answers, the Hailo Lefayis, no, you should have been Mefayis him. What do you mean? If the guy targeted your Evid, how are you supposed to be Mefayis him with something else? So the Gemara, the Sotos explains, the Kivan did no sin damim, vada hayim Mefayis bedavar muad. From the fact that he's giving money, that's a reflection of the fact that clearly he would have taken something else. I mean, if he's willing to pay for the Evid, you probably could have gotten away with giving him something else instead of the Evid. And now it fits in very well why we compare this to a case of selling the Evid for 30 days. Because in this case as well, when the guy targets the Evid and he says, I'm buying this Evid whether you like it or not, it's not because he wants the Evid forever. He likely has a job that needs to get done. He needs a schlepper or something. So he says, I want this guy. And normally the way it works is after he finishes with the Evid, he'll bring him back to the Yisrael and get his money back. He puts in a deposit and he brings him back and he gets his money back. Even though the whole deal is done al karcha di Yisrael, it's done against the Yisrael's will, but that's the way it went. So that in that way, it is similar to a 30-day sale. By Rabbi Yirmiya, on that discussion, Machra l'shloshim yom mahu. What's the halach if you sold him for 30 days? Does the Evid go free if it wasn't a sale that's meant to be permanent? Or does he not go free? Tashema, da'amar Rav, amoch Rav do lefarang, ovid kolchavim yatzal cheirus. We say that if you sell him to a farang, ovid kolchavim, he goes free. So that's supposed to be a raya. So again, according to Tosos, the raya is very good, because the farang, ovid kolchavim, is also a case where it's only temporary, where it's not going to be that long. The Rashi says that even in his case as well, even according to his understanding, that the guy makes up tainas on you and takes your evid, probably he does that also for similar reasons. He needs him for a particular job and then he plans on returning him. So again, that's the raya. The case of Farang is also only temporary. So says Gemara, Hasan befaring over Chavim Sheino Chazeres. No, it could be by the case of the faring over Chavim where we say he does go free, is a case where he's not going to return the Evid. When the plan is that he's going to return the Evid, maybe in a Chanami, maybe he wouldn't go free. But if the plan is that he's never going to return the Evid, so then he has to go free. That's like selling the Evid to a guy. Machru chutz mi malachto mahu. What's the halacha though? If you sell, meaning we said that if you sell the Evid to a guy, the halacha is that he goes free. Why does he go free when you sell the Evid to a guy? Because the Evid is really chayiv in mitzvos ki'isha. He's chayiv in many mitzvos. You sell him to a guy, the guy's not going to enable him to do the mitzvos. He's going to prevent him from doing the mitzvos that he's chayiv in. And because of that, you're causing him to not do mitzvos. So that's why, so the Gemara is going to pose a series of shailas where it seems that there are ways to sell to a guy where you're not going to be preventing the Eved from doing mitzvos. And the Gemara's Shaila is going to be, what's the halacha in these cases? Do we say that since the whole reason that he's Yotzei L'Cheirus doesn't apply in these cases, because the Eved will still be able to do mitzvos, so therefore he won't go free? Or do we say, no, that it's a low plug, that automatically the Eved goes free when you sell him to a guy, even if you manage to get around the concern of the mitzvos? So for instance, Machru Chutz Mimalachto Mahu, you sell the Eved and you say, I'm selling you the Eved, except you're not allowed to do any malacha with him. I mean, you can use him to produce children, other avadim, but his malacha is not yours, meaning so you can't force him to do any malacha on Shabbos, Yantif, or whatever else, anything that's aser. The new adon won't be allowed to force him to do anything that's aser. Chutz min mitzvos mahu. What if you say explicitly, I'm selling you the Eved, but you are not allowed to have him violate any mitzvos. He still has to observe all the mitzvos that he was chayiv in previously, and that the sale is limited in that sense, so the Evid clearly is not going to be able to do any averos, so maybe there shouldn't be any reason to be gozer. So again, the kasha, of course, that the Achronim deal with is, why wouldn't that be okay? Why should the Eved go L'Cheres in that case? You really avoided the problem. The whole problem was that it's going to be, so like we said before, many Achronim understand that it's a low plug. That the idea is that maybe the Takanas Chazal was that when you sell them to a guy, I don't care what the details are, there's a low plug, the Takanas across the board, even if you manage to avoid our concern, you sell them to a guy, automatically he's going to be Yotze L'Cheres. So Ksav Sofer gives it a little more time. He says, But why? Why would Chazal include that in their takana? So the Ksav Sofer explains that it might not just be that you're directly causing him to not do mitzvos. It could be more than that. He's going to be living. This is a guy who started life as a guy. He lived up until a certain point as a guy. He then became an Eved in a Jew's house, and he became Chayev in mitzvos. Now you're going to put him back in a totally non-Jewish environment, and he's going to want to be like his master. He's going to want to do like his master, even if the master doesn't directly force him to violate Averos, to prevent him from doing mitzvos, still, eventually he's going to get there, eventually he's going to do it on his own. So in that way, maybe you are preventing him from doing mitzvos by selling him to the guy in any way, even if you're selling him chutz min mitzvos. Says Gemara Vayter, another similar question, chutz mi shabbosos v'yamim tovim ahu. What if you sell him chutz mi shabbos v'yam tov? You sell him totally except for shabbos and yantiv, that the gayish adon will not have the right to make him work on shabbos and yantiv. Now, the Achronim deal with the obvious problem. Of course, we just said chutz min mitzvos. What does chutz mi shabbosos v'yam tovim add to chutz min mitzvos? Obviously, if the case of the new adon not being able to force him to violate mitzvos is a shaila, so chutz mi shabbos v'yam tovim doesn't add anything new. Shabbos and yantiv are just examples of mitzvos. So Sam Sofer writes that the Gemara thought that maybe the whole knas chachamim was to let the eved free was on the fact that you not on the fact that you're causing the eved to violate mitzvos, but rather it's on the Adon himself, that the Adon is in violation of Laman Yanuach, that the Adon has a mitzvah in the Torah to make sure his Eved doesn't work on Shabbos and Yantiv. So maybe the reason you free him, the Gemara Suffolk at this point, is not because you're causing him to violate mitzvahs in general and he's going to be violating mitzvahs in general. No, that's his problem. The reason that you have to free him is because you, the Adon, are in violation of Laman Yanuach when you free him, that you're allowing your Eved to work on Shabbos and Yantiv. So the whole idea, the whole issue is only an issue of Chil Shabbos. So if you explicitly say Chutz Mi Shabbos Yantiv, you avoid the problem. The problem with Chassam Sofer is Chassam Sofer raises the problem. He says the Mishnah says if you sell him to Chutz La'aretz, he's Yotze L'Cheres. Why? Because when you sell him to Chutz La'aretz, he can no longer do the mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz. So what does that have to do with Shabbos and Yantiv? According to the Chassam Sofer's Vart, the Gemara is assuming that maybe the whole issue is a Shabbos and Yantiv issue. It has nothing to do with any of the other mitzvahs. Well, then why should selling him to Chutz La'aretz be a problem? So says the Chassam Sofer, unbelievable. Chassam Sofer's mitarates that based on the Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksubos, Hanimtzu b'chutz la'aretz kilu einu mekayim shum mitzvah shekol hador b'chutz la'aretz k'misha ein lo aloka, that anyone who lives in Chutz La'aretz is as if he doesn't have a God, and therefore any mitzvah that he does in Chutz La'aretz is not a mitzvah, including his Shabbos and including his Yantiv. So you are preventing him from doing Shabbos and Yantiv, and you're violating Laman Yanuach by allowing him to go to Chutz La'aretz, and that's even if he doesn't do Malach on Shabbos and Yantiv in Chutz La'aretz, because he's not keeping Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. And if you're not keeping Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, that's not a Shabbos. Sam Sofer, of course, then has to contend with the fact that, what about the rest of us? We all are not keeping Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz, then even when we are keeping Shabbos. So he says, no, that's only by Neved Kanani, Aval Gedol Yisrael, Talmidei Chachamim, Oskei Torah, Aleim Nemar B'chol Makom Mukter Mugash L'Shmi Yemin Chatorah. So it could be that we're able to be Mekadesh ourselves in some sense, like the Hasidim have a concept that a tzaddik could be Mekadesh himself with the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael in some way. So we're able to be Mekadesh our Shabbos in such a way that it counts as a real Shabbos, even though it's in Chutz La'aretz. But for the Eved, it's not going to count. He's just an Eved Kanani. His Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz isn't a real Shabbos. Needless to say, that certainly does not seem like the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, so says Gemara Vayter, further along this line of questioning, L'ger Toshav, L'Yisrael Mumar Mahu. What if you sell him to a Ger Toshav, a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who's Mekabel upon himself, the Sheva Mitzvah Pnei Noach? Or what if you sell him to Yisrael Mumar? He's a Jew, but but he doesn't act like a Jew. Lekuti mahu. What if you sell him to a kuti? So it says Gemara Pshut Miyachad. Okay, we asked a whole series of questions. We can at least answer one of them. Ger Toshav Hareu Kovid Chavim. Regarding this halacha, selling to a Ger Toshav is like selling him to a guy. That certainly is going to go free if you sell him to a Ger Toshav. Now the Gilyoni Ashas of Yosef Engel in Avodazar Daf Tezvavam Beis asks that that a Ger Toshav we know is Mekabel's Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach. One of the Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach is Dinim, that he has to accept upon himself basic halachos of Nezikin and things like that, that he has to have a system of Dinim Mamanis. So a Ger Toshav is not allowed to be Mazik, certainly. A guy is not allowed to be Mazik, and a Ger Toshav has accepted upon himself not to be Mazik someone else. So says Rav Yosef Engel, Chazal say that it's Gadol HaMachtio Yosef Min HaHargo, that the worst kind of nezek one could possibly ever do to somebody is to cause him to do an aveira, so to be machti somebody else. So Ger Toshav L'chor should be chayiv in that too. And he says it seems to him that a Ger Toshav is chayiv in Lifnei Iver, because Lifnei Iver is a form of mazik. When you cause someone to do an iser, that's the worst form of mazik. So he says, what's the concern over here? How could selling to a Ger Toshav be like selling to a guy? Again, the whole problem with selling to a guy is that he's not going to be able to do mitzvahs anymore, that the new master is going to force him to not do the mitzvahs that he's chayivin. Well, when you sell him to a Ger Toshav, that shouldn't be a problem, because the Ger Toshav is not allowed to cause him to do averos, because the Ger Toshav himself is not allowed to be mazik somebody. That's Rav Yosef Engel's kasha. That's his kasha in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Tezvav, and he's mitari tzeren chinami. But you're right; the Ger Toshav is not allowed to force him to do averos. But the only a Jew has a chazaka that he won't force him to do averos. Meaning, he's not allowed to. But it's not to say that he won't. He still might force him to do averus. He might not view that, he might not understand that as a real nezek, and therefore there still remains a concern that he actually will cause him to averus. Okay, says Umar Vaidza, Kuti the Yisrael Mumar, Amri Loka, Vichad Mar Loka Yisrael. When it comes to the case of the Kuti or the Yisrael Mumar, so that's a machlokas. Some say he has a din of a guy, some say he has a din of a Jew. An Eved who allowed himself to be taken by foreign troops, by people who by non-Jews, and you have no ability to get him back, neither through Beis Din, because Beis Din has no power, nor through the non-Jewish courts, because the non-Jewish courts are not interested in getting him back for you. Mao Shi'itol is Damav. So, are you allowed to take money from them? Meaning, they're willing to pay you for the eved, but are you allowed to take money for it? Meaning, or do you assume that no, it's not your eved, he's yotzei l'cherus, and therefore you can't. Meaning, we have a knas. Since you're not allowed to sell your eved to a guy, so this is the equivalent of selling him to a guy. You shouldn't be allowed to take money from them. So Rabbi Yirmiyah told Rabbi Zreika, "Puk ayin b'michiltik." So Rabbi Yirmiyah told Rabbi Zreika, "Go research the topic. Go look in all the mishnayos and prices. You know, see what you can find." Nafak duck v'ashkach t'tanya, and he went and he found the brisa that says, "Amocher beis alovid kochavim dama vasurin." When you sell a bias to an ovid kochavim, the money is asur. Now the halacha is, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says lo sechanim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says lo sechanim means three separate isurim. One of them is lo sitin lahem matnas chinam. You're not allowed to give a gift for nothing to a guy. Second one, lo sitin lahem chein. You're not allowed to give compliments to a guy. And the third one is lo sitin lahem chaniya bekarka. You're not allowed to allow a guy to reside, to own land in Eretz Yisrael. So you're not, if you own a house in Eretz Yisrael, it's usser to sell it to a guy. It's an isser daraisa to sell to a guy. So let's say, so the Braisa says, if you sold your house to a guy, is that money permissible to you? Do we say that there's a knas on the money, that the money is usher to you? So the Braisa says, Dama vasurin, va'ovid kham sha'anas beso shal yisrael ve'in ba'al v'yachal lo'tzio, lo b'din yisrael ve'lo b'din yisrael ve'kham. What if the guy forces you to sell the house to him, and he's offering you money for it, but he's forcing it upon you, he's not giving you a choice, and you have no recourse, there's no way you're going to be able to get that house back? Mutar li'tal is dama. Then you're allowed to take the money. So don't just, v'kosev ma'al b'archo shalem, meshu k'matzel mi'adam. And you can even write the contract in the secular courts, because you're saving that money from them. Meaning, you're going to lose the house anyway. It's only a question of whether they're going to have their money or you're going to have their money. So for that, you could take their money, because the house is a goner anyway. You're not going to get the house back anyway. Now I explain the Gemara according to Rashi. Right? That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Now the question that all the Achronim have on Rashi's Pshat, that we're dealing with selling a house in Eretz Yisrael to a guy, is why didn't the Chachamim make a knas that, meaning by all the other things that you're not allowed to sell by the Eved, there's a knas that you have to buy him back. How come there's no knas Chachamim to buy back that the house that you're selling, that you sell to a guy in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam understands totally different than Rashi. The Rambam says mocher beis ol ovid kochavim doesn't mean you sell your house in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. It means you sell your house for use as a avodah zarah. So the house is now going to be used as a avodah zarah. Buying it back isn't going to be helpful because the house is already yasser. It already became nasar as an avodah zarah. So that's how the Rambam seems to understand. Hilchav avodah kochavim perak tes halacha yud gimel. And the Kesef Mishnah of Nelson Kalim say, when the Rambam says that halacha, that he got it from this Gemara. So anyway, so we see a proof from here that when he's forcing you to sell it to him, you're allowed to take money from him. So the same should apply by the Eved. So the Gemara, no, but Dilma Hanimili Bayis, the Kibin Dilo Sagile Bilo Bayis, Lo Asi Lizvuna. Maybe that's only by a house, because since a person can't live without a house, it's not likely that you would come to sell it to him. Aval Avdu, the Sagile Bilo Avdu, Asi Lizvuna. But an Eved, or you could live without an Eved, maybe you will come, and more likely that you would sell him the Eved, or do we not make that distinction? Shalach Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami sent a psak, Mini Ami Bar Nasan, Torah Yotza L'Kol Yisrael. He says, from me, Ami Bar Nasan, the halacha is going to go out to all of Klal Yisrael. Eved, she pelatzma l'gayasos vein, Rabbi Yachalotzi, l'abedin Yisrael, l'abedin of the Kuchavim. If an Eved is taken by non-Jews, and you're unable to get him back through any means of any type of court, mutu l'itol z'dama, v'kosiv malaber chosh, l'abedin Kuchavim, neshu. You're allowed to take his money, the money of the guy, in exchange for the Eved, and you're allowed to write contracts in the secular courts in order to finalize the sale, because anyway, you're not going to get your Eved back. The only question is the guy going to have his money, or are you going to have his money? So you're certainly allowed to have the money in that situation. The question is, the Rishonim deal with over here, what's the Chiddush that you're allowed to go Berachos Shalahem? So Rashi says, L'chos ma'afl b'shech hashivus hilahem, that going to secular court to sign a contract is giving Hashivas to the secular court over a Beis Din, over our way of doing things. And that would be the Isser. And under normal circumstances, it would be Usser to deal with any contract in a secular court. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, generally, even lechadchila, we think shtaros that are made in secular courts are okay. That's not the issue to go to secular court to finalize a shtar. You buy a house and you have a deed that's legally binding based on secular law. That's aser. So mfarish rabbeinu tam dafkav dinir kimekayim hamekach shari. No, the chiddush over here is that when you go to the courts, it looks like you're really making this a real sale, and you know you're not allowed to sell your house in Eretz Yisrael or your Eved to a guy, and still you're going to the court to finalize the sale, still you're allowed to do it because you know deep down that whether you go to the court or not, you're not getting the Eved back, you're not getting the house back. You sell your Eved to a guy, we make a knas up until 100 times the value of the Eved. You have to buy the Eved back, even if he's going to charge you 100 times his value. So dafka lav dafka, does that mean really 100 times his value, or is that just an exaggeration? Rashi says that saying, no, you have to pay more than the Eved's worth, but 100 times, come on, that's a little crazy. Tosfos understands the kasha the opposite. Dafka only up until 100 times the value of the Eved, or as much money as you have, as much money as is willing to charge. If he wants to charge 200 times the value of the Eved, so you have to do that as well. Is it Dafka 100 times, or is that not a precise number? So Tashma Adam Reish Lakish Amokar Bei Magasa Lo Bichavim Konsum Osar Eser B'Demeah. When you sell Bei Magasa to a guy, so we make a Knas up until 10 times its value. So you see that 10 times its value is what we said over there. So apparently 100 is Lav Dafka. Says Gemara, no, V'dil Mashayni Eved, it's called Yom of Yom, Mafkalim Yomitzos. No, maybe by the Eved we make a bigger knas, because by the Eved, every single day he's violating mitzvos. So the issue keeps getting bigger and bigger every day, as opposed to by the Behema, where it's a one-time thing. A second version of this whole discussion, dafka lav dafka, that it says that only 10 times his value, and then we ask, is that dafka or not? Tashma Adam Reish Lakish Amokar Bei Magasa Lo V'Chavim Konsu Asad Me'a B'Demeha. By Bei Magasa, we say you have up until 100 times of his value. So now you see that the 10 times was Lav Dafka. So it says, no, Shiny Eved Delo Hadale. Maybe by the Eved we're only going to make a Knas that you have to pay 10 times his value because you don't get the Eved back. The Eved is Yatzal Cheres. You have to pay for him, and then he goes free. So that's why we're only going to make you pay up until 10 times its value. By the Behemoth, though, you have to pay up until 100 times its value, because you're going to get the Behemoth back when you buy it back. Says Gemara, Behemoth, I'm going to have to say it's Feichad. So I understand. The Eved, I'm going to have to pay 10 times its value, because I don't get him back. The Behemoth, which I will get back, I should have to pay 11 times its value. Right, because I'm getting the behemah. That's all I'm gaining by getting it back, is one more time its value, because I'm getting the actual item back. Why should I have to pay 100 times its value? I'll say, take it. I don't want it back. I'd rather pay 10 times its value and not take it back. Rather, the reason that by the Eved you only pay 10 times its value is because it's not so shkriach that a person sells his Eved to a guy, and the Rabbanon where not goes are milsa lo shkriach. This is a very unusual milsa lo shkriach lo gazer barabbanon. Normally, milsa lo shkriach lo gazer barabbanon means Rabbanon didn't see any reason to make a gezera, a takana, in a certain situation because the situation is so uncommon. Over here, the Rabbanan did make a gzeira in this uncommon situation. You have to pay 10 times the Eved's value. They just didn't go overboard with their gzeira. They didn't make you pay 100 times its value because it's lo shchiach. I don't know of any other cases offhand of milsa lo shchiach where we say the Rabbanan make the gzeira on a case that we declare is not shchiach. They just didn't make the gzeira as strongly as they otherwise would have. It's an unusual case. What if you sell your Eved? What if Reuven sells his Eved and then Reuven dies? So does Reuven's son have to buy the Eved back also? Does he have to let the Eved, forget about buying him back? Does he have to buy the Eved back also? Same tim tzlom et saramozen b'char umeis kansu b'no achrav mishum di yisur d'araisi yavalachi yisur d'rabanan. So Gemara says, well, let's find a parallel case. The halacha is that if you have a b'char behemah tahora, you have to give that animal to a kohen. If the animal does not develop a mum, the kohen brings it as a carbon and can eat certain parts of it. If the animal does develop a mum, the kohen can shech the animal for himself and eat the entire animal. So the kohen obviously has major reason to make the animal develop a mum. So what if the kohen purposely puts a mum in that animal? Soramos and Bechar Mahu. What if the Kohen puts the mum in that animal? So the Chacham made a takana that he's not allowed to get any anah from that animal whatsoever. That the Kohen isn't allowed to get any benefit. So what if the guy, Reuven, the Kohen, puts a mum in the animal and then he dies? Is his son allowed to get anah from the animal? So says Gemara, maybe that should be a good prototype to determine our case of selling the Eved and then dying. So the Gemara says, no, maybe over there it's because Mishum D'Yisur D'Araisahi. Making a mum in Kachim is Nisa D'Araisa. Maybe over there we're going to make the Knas much more serious. Avalach Yisur D'Rabbanan, but over here it's only Nisa D'Rabbanan, and therefore the Knas isn't going to be as severe. We're not going to carry over the Knas to the son. Vimtim Salomar, Kivim Lachsa. So the Gemara says, okay, let's look at another prototype of a case of possible kansu b'no achrav, of a person who's mechavin malachta b'moed. Halacha is that for a davar avid, for something that otherwise you're going to lose out, you're allowed to do malachan chol moed. But what you're not allowed to do is say, you know what, I have plenty of chance to do this way before moed, but I'll wait till it gets really close to moed. I'll start a job so that it will be a davar avid when moed comes. Because sometimes if you don't start it, it'll be fine and it can wait. But if you start it, now it's a davar avid if I don't finish it. So the knas is that even though it's now a davar avid, you're not allowed to do it, because you purposely made it a davar avid. So what about kivim lach moed umeis lo kansu b'no achrav? So we do not make a knas on the son that he's not allowed to finish the job either if the father started it and died. Mishum d'lavid isura hachamai. Maybe that's because he didn't do any real iser. But over here, what's the din? L'didei kansu rabbanan v'halesei odim l'mamoni kansu rabbanan v'isei. Is the ikar knas on the guy himself, and the guy himself is no longer here? Or is the Iker Knas and selling an Eved on the Mammon, on the Eved himself, and the Eved is still here, the Mammon is still here, so therefore you should have to be poed to the Eved. The son should have to be poed to the Eved. Amar leita nisua, so we learned the answer to this question as follows. Sadash and Eskavtsa, if you have a field that was, the thorns were removed from the field, b'shviyas, during the Shemitah year, tizar l'matzai shviyas, you're allowed to plant in that field the matzai shviyas. Netaiva o nedaira, if it was fertilized in various ways, lo tizar l'matzai shviyas, then you're not allowed to plant in that field the matzai shviyas. V'am rabbi yosi rabbi chanina, naktina neitiva umeis, b'no zora. But if a person fertilizes the field and then dies, his son is allowed to plant the matzai shviyas. Almo, the day kansu rabbanan, lebrei lo kansu rabbanan. So you see very clearly that with this type of case, we only make the knas on the guy who violated the iser, not on his son after him. Amar Rabbi Naktina Timi Taro Shel Chavero Umeis Lo Kansu Rabbanu Beno Achrav. Generally, the halacha is if I make your taros tamei, so it's hezek sheinu nikar. I didn't do anything recognizably. I didn't damage it in a recognizable fashion, and therefore, on a daraisa level, I don't have to pay you because I didn't damage you. But the Rabbanan made a knas that I have to pay you because in reality I did damage you because you're not going to be able to use your taros because now they're tamei. So that's a knas to Rabbanan. What if Reuven is metame your taros and then Reuven dies? Does Shimon have to pay you? So timi taros v'shal chavero umeis lo kamsu Rabbanan b'no achrav. The child does not have to pay for it. My taima hezek sheinu nikar lo shmei hezek knas to Rabbanan hu l'didei kamsu Rabbanan lebrei lo kamsu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan only made the knas on the father, the Rabbanan, on the guy who actually did it. They did not make the knas on the child after him. Ol chutzlaret. So we said if you sell your evidence to chutzlaret, he goes free. Tan Rabbanan amoch rav chutzlaret yatzel cherus v'tzarach get shichur min rabo sheni. He goes to cherus, but he needs to get shichur from his second master, from the one you sold him to. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer pam yatzo pam lo yatzo. Sometimes he goes free, sometimes he doesn't. Ketzad. Amar ploni avdi mechati leploni antuchi lo yatza. If you say I'm selling my eved to this antuchi man, meaning this foreigner, he doesn't go free. La antuchi sheb antuchi yatza. But if you say I'm selling my eved to this antuchi who lives in Antuchia, so then he's yotze. Meaning, just because you call someone and you go into Eretz Yisrael, they call people Americans who've been living in Israel for 20 years, right? Because they come from America. So just because you sell your eved to an antuchi, that doesn't mean you're selling him to chutz laaretz. Only if it's antuchi sheba antuchia. Frekling marava tanya machatul antuchi yatzal antuchi ashari belud lo yatza. But don't we have a brisa that says if you sell him to an antuchi he goes lecherus? But if you sell him to an antuchi who lives in Lud, he doesn't go lecherus. Meaning, unless you specify that the guy lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to go lecherus. So this is against what we just said. The previous brisa said if you say stam, I'm selling him to an American, then he doesn't go lecherus because maybe the American is an Israeli American, he lives in Israel. But if you say that I'm selling him to an American in America, then he goes lecherus. Now we're saying, if you say stam, I'm selling to an American, he does go lecherus. The only time he doesn't go lecherus is if you say I'm selling him to an American Israeli, to an American who lives in Israel. You have to specify that. Says more lo kasha. Adis le beis haberet shal, adis le yishpiz haberet shal. One is a case where you're referring to an American who has a house in Eretz Yisrael. The other is an American who stays at a hotel in Eretz Yisrael. If he has a house in Eretz Yisrael, so then you're selling him to Eretz Yisrael. If he stays in a hotel in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't count. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, ben bavel shenasi isha beretz Yisrael v'chnisa lo avadim u'shvachas v'dayt alach samahu. What if a ben bavel marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael? A guy from Bavel marries an Israeli woman, and she brings in avadim and shvachas to the marriage, and he plans on, after getting married, moving with her back to Bavel. So what's the din in that case? Meaning, is that called that she's being mocher her evit to chutz laretz? So tibay l'man diyamar hadin ima, tibay l'man diyamar hadin imo. So this is a shaila, both according to the shita, that after, if the marriage ever dissolves, and she demands the actual nechasin that she brought into the marriage, rather than just their value, this is a shaila both according to the shita that she has the right to demand that, and according to the shita that she has no right to demand that, and that she can only get cash from him. So it's a shayla according to the shita that says that she wins. So do we say that since she can always say I want that eved back, so the eved is considered hers? Or maybe no, that since through the course of the marriage the husband is going to get all the peros from this eved, it is like she sold it to him and it does belong to him. And the shayla is even according to the shita that he can just pay her off with money and keep the eved after the marriage dissolves. Do we say that since he can keep the eved at the end, it's considered like his? Or maybe since, no, he still doesn't really own the gufa eved, so it's going to be considered hers. So teku, the Gemara leaves that as a teku. A little bit weiter. Amar Rabbi Yavoh, shana lo Rabbi Yochanan, eved sheyatza achar rabo l'suri, or macho shem rabo, yatza l'cheirus. an eved who follows his master into Surya, and over there his master sells him, he goes to Cheirus. But didn't Rabbi Chiya teach us that he loses whatever zuchus he has because he willingly went after his Rav into Surya? Says Gemara, lo kasha, kan shadash Rabbi Lachzor, kan shein dash Rabbi Lachzor. It all depended when the Rav went, when the master went, was he planning on going back or not? Vatanya, and we have a brisa that supports this idea, this chilik, yotze eved acha Rabbi l'Surya. An eved goes after his master, follows him to Surya. Frakta Gemara, just as an interlude for a second, yotze lo sagid lo nafik. An eved has to follow his master into Surya. Vatanan ve'nakol motzin. I thought you're not allowed to force the eved to follow his master into Surya. Ela yotze. Rather, it means if the eved yotze ha eved acha Rabbi l'Surya. Not yotze, but if the eved follows his master into Surya, umachra Rabbi Shaman. His master sells him there. Im das Rabbi Lachzor kofno. So if the master hears this, says beferish in the brisa of this distinction, if the master always planned on returning, so then we force him. Vim ein das Rabbi Lachzor ein kofno. So, but if the master did not plan on ever returning, we don't force him to go with his master into Chutz Laretz. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.